Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show that's all about truly terrible television. I'm your host, Ned Airbar, and if we got a show for you, this episode, If Music Be the Food of Crappiness, Suck On. Who writes this? We're celebrating all the awful musical ideas TV can and will come up with, from Glee all the way to the Glee Project, and literally everything in between. Our four contestants will pitch their absolute worst music-themed show ideas, then our network executive judges will pepper them with notes, and one lucky pitcher will be eliminated. But they're not out of the game just yet. They'll be promoted and become an executive for the rest of the show, because the TV industry is all about failing upward. In round two, we'll spring a surprise game on the pitchers. Then, after another elimination slash promotion, the two finalists will face off in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with a CD copy of the soundtrack to La La Land. Pitching this episode are...
Paga Yazd, and I play piano, but I don't remember how to do it that well.
Matt Nadasta, North Jersey region band, first bassoon.
I'm Rod Bastenmare, and I can play flute with my eyes closed and with no flute action.
Julia Young, and I don't like music.
All right. At the network executive table, as always, is our head judge, Kyla McGlynn, and our guest judge of this episode is Matt Lee. Kyla, what are you looking for from these pitches?
You know, I think we'd like to get something that combines the excitement of a scripted show like Empire or Glee with the reality competition of The Voice. You know, something that just mashes the genre up so much until it's barely recognizable.
All right.
I'm looking for something that makes me want to sing. I haven't sung in years. The last time that I sung was actually when I had just ran away from my clean living sobriety house and went to Augusta, Georgia. And I was an au pair for a captain and his six kids. And I had to leave, though, once he caught me cashing his dead wife's Social Security checks. So I haven't really sang since then. I miss the kids a lot.
Okay.
We might have to greenlight that show.
All right, it's time to hear some pitches that I'm sure are just going to sing, right? No? No?
Ned. Right.
Sorry. Let's get ready for round one. Up first, it's Pega.
Hello, distinguished panel. Today, I bring you an idea audiences have been begging for since November 2014. It's Babadook, the musical, starring Jessica Chastain as the Babadook, Camila Cabello as the mom, and an adult Haley Joel Osment as the son. Babadook, the musical, is a showstopper with a little something for the whole family. With songs by the surviving members of the Bee Gees, Babadook, the musical, includes funky original musical numbers like Who's That? It's the Babadook! And wow, Jessica Chastain in a top hat. And if names like Jessica Chastain, Camila Cabello, and an adult Haley Joel Osment don't pique your interest, we've got even more star power for you. John Hamm's sweatpants? Already attached. LaToya Jackson? 100% attached. Anthony Hopkins? For some reason, attached. And reprising his role as the pet dog murdered by the mom is Bugsy the dog. Thank you.
Pega, oh my God. I'm almost to tears, too, just thinking about this ensemble cast. I mean, you did so much name dropping, I almost lost count. John Hamm's sweatpants, mm-hmm. Jessica Chastain.
You know the sweatpants I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely. Oh, the gray
everybody
ones.
Knows
everybody,
them.
Yeah.
How did you possibly, though, get adult Haley Joel Osment attached?
Well, it was easy because he's now an adult. Virgin.
Which leads me to my next question. Could we get child Haley Joel Osment?
We could, because of cloning technology. We would just have to wait like 6 or 7 years.
But back to this show.
Mm-hmm. Babadook, the musical.
So when we have an exclamation point in the show name, we can actually get more sponsors because we can get sponsors who also have exclamation
like
points
Sham
in their name.
Wow.
Or Jeb.
Or Jeb.
Those were the two I was thinking about.
That is a four-year-old reference.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this because after my brief stint as an au pair for the captain.
Right.
I took all the money from the Social Security checks, and I ran away, and I hid in a monastery. Oh. And we had to put on a musical with the nuns to help pay off all the legal fees from all the, you know, bad stuff. So I'm really excited to get back in this game. I just gotta say, like, mm-hmm. musicals are my thing.
Are you trying to be in Babadook, the musical?
I mean, is this an audition? That's not going to affect my judgment. Let me just be clear. That's,
well, I'm just, you know, I know it's not. I know you're very
I have nothing prepared to audition for it.
Yeah, but if you did.
I mean, if I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Something public domain, please.
Camptown racists sing this song. Oh. Doo-dah.
Yeah.
Doo-dah.
Wow.
I'm singing it very sexily just for the listeners.
I love that.
Camptown racists.
Okay,
all.
That's great. Yeah,
thank
I can guarantee you as the showrunner that if you were to greenlight this?
There could be 99 people in a room.
Well, I think we've covered it.
All right. Thank you, Peggy. Now we're going to move on to our second pitcher of round one. Matt, what do you got for us?
Thank you very much. Thank you all for listening and for the waters. When you think of a beloved reality dating show, only one title springs to mind: Rock of Love. From 2007 to 2009, this groundbreaking series combined the best of music and romance as Poison frontman Bret Michaels looked for love and lots of random sex with a house full of much younger women who seemed suspiciously into him. But sadly, more than a decade after the show ended, Bret is still living that single rock star lifestyle well into his golden years. Well, guess what? Bret is back, and this time he's playing for keeps, introducing Rock of Love, Till Death Do Us Part. In this series, Bret shares a home with 12 eligible women who also happen to be registered nurses. Each of them will have to prove her ability to charm his heart, arouse his waning libido, and administer his many medications, but only one will win the privilege of being his girlfriend and legal caregiver for the rest of his natural life, which is in their contract. They'll follow him on the road, making sure he doesn't throw his back out lifting a microphone. They'll adjust his trademark bandana and make sure his three remaining hairs are in place. And when the lights go out, they'll follow him into his bedroom and rub his tired body until he passes out watching Pawn Stars. Make no mistake, this show gets steamy, and I'm not just talking about the icy hot. So if you love the music of the 80s, the TV of the early 2000s, and the geriatric care of tomorrow, you'll totally rock out for Rock of Love, Till Death Do Us Part.
I can't believe, was this show really only 10 years ago?
Yeah. It was, ran for 3 seasons. The last one was Rock of Love Bus, where they were all on a bus.
Was that Rock of Love colon bus or
yes,
just Rock of Love Bus?
Rock of Love with Bret Michaels colon bus. Everybody partied out on the colon bus. By the way, unrelated, there'll be a lot of colonoscopy content in this show.
I'm very young.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to rewind a little bit. Who is Bret Michaels? Is that what you said?
Bret Michaels. Okay, yes, yeah. Bret Michaels, just for context of any millennials around here, is most famous musician of all time. The lead singer of Poison, famous for hits such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn and others.
Okay, I'm into this.
So I think we've got a couple of great tie-in opportunities.
Absolutely. There's a million opportunities. Icy Hot, Squatty Potty, Centrum Silver, Industrial Strength Bandanas, everything that you could possibly want.
Those tiny cameras for those colonoscopies.
Yeah, tiny colonoscopy cameras.
Yeah.
And those are expensive. Those are expensive. Love it.
I have a question. How does Bret have an opinion about discomfort when he caths?
Absolutely, yeah. I think Gentle Catheter is another strong sponsorship opportunity. I mean, I think we'll mostly do a 3/4 shot to hide the fact that he's got a catheter in at all times. But, you know.
I think we have everything we need. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Moving right along, third for round one is Rod.
Thank you. We all know what happens when kids want to be DJs. But what happens when kids don't want to be DJs? I'm Not a DJ is a 12-week reality competition program in which each week a group of 8-year-old kids try to successfully convince a panel of local Ibiza club goers that they are not in fact a DJ and do not have a 6 set at 1 a.m. Each week, kids will have to compete in a series of poorly conceived challenges, which sometimes confusingly include DJing, which results in their thankfully being eliminated. In the finale, the losing winner will be forced to sign a contract for a 2-year residency at Shungu Palace in Ibiza. Hosted by Brian Singer and a chicken nugget with 2 googly eyes, this is I'm Not a DJ. Thank you.
Okay, judges, what did you think, and how do you think you should correctly pronounce Ibiza?
Well, first of all, I think this is a great sort of a service-y show for the community because I think kids becoming DJs is a huge rampant problem in our society.
Thank you.
So thank you for taking that on.
It is our responsibility as artists, as documentarian, and as performers.
Could not agree more. Oh, and to answer your question, Ibiza. These challenges, can you give me an idea of what they would be?
yeah, they would sort of, we really want to kind of run the gamut and make sure people are seeing like what this industry is asking of their artists. So it would be being like a sous chef at like a local restaurant. I mean, this is DJ culture we're talking about. And there would be weirdly a dating portion, and that is Bryan Singer's one note. And again, for some reason, there will be sections where they are forced to DJ and in which they will be pleading with the producers to make sure that they understand that they don't want this to be confusing because they are not DJ. It's not one of them.
I get it. It's sort of like when you catch a kid smoking and then you make them smoke the whole pack.
Absolutely.
We're going to make them DJ the whole set.
You're going to DJ the whole set for 2 years in Ibiza, and then we'll see how you like it. And they'll say, I don't like it and I didn't want to do this.
This is a punishment.
In a sense.
Okay. I'm really vibing with this because when I was an au pair, as I might have mentioned it, one of the oldest of the children was sneaking around with this like alt-right DJ at night. And one day I was like in my room, like in my nightgown, and it was raining like crazy. And she like sneaks in, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I was hanging out with my alt-right DJ. And it was just so much drama, but whatever. I was out of there in like 2 weeks. So I'm really into this idea because DJs suck.
I'm so glad that this story was able to somehow connect with your story. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
You know what? They always do. They always do. One more question for me. This chicken nugget with googly eyes. Mm-hmm. I don't really need any more information, but what's his vibe, his or her or their vibe like as a host?
Obviously, what you want out of your judges is sort of like tension. So like Bryan Singer is going to be like the nice one, and the chicken nugget with two googly eyes will be like the tough, like, you know, like a lot of like intense stares, and it's like, how do I, it, like, so hard to like crack through this nugget. So we do want some of that good cop, bad cop.
So the nugget is the bad cop.
Yeah. I'm so sorry if that wasn't clear.
Well, no more questions. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thank you, Rod. Now to close out round one, Julia, what do you have for us?
Judges, competitors. You've heard of the show The X Factor, where glamorous judges and Simon Cowell audition aspiring performers and eliminate contestants one by one until they replicate the success of One Direction. But that show is stale, old, bloated, just like Simon Cowell. Introducing a new show that is a homonym of The X Factor. That's right, I'm adding an E. It's The X Factor. All of my ex-boyfriends who are all coincidentally aspiring musicians, audition in a music competition show. Hosted by Simon Cowell's 6-year-old son, Eric, The X Factor features three of my top ex-boyfriends. There's Taylor, who moved to Maine after college and plays in a band called Forget Forget and has changed the settings in his phone so every time he texts me, the letter S is a dollar sign. There's Johnny, a beer distributor who used to sell Four Loko on Craigslist, but on the X Factor stage, he's a DJ named DJ No Words Just Bodies. And yes, he does love SantaCon. And finally, there's Jared, a musician who's also an actor. He dreams of doing music full-time, especially after one of his most recent roles as the Joker was not well-received, and he was not asked to be in the Birds of Prey film. His band is called 30 Seconds to Mars, and I broke up with him. So who will it be? Who will get eliminated by the judges and who will be crowned the winner of The X Factor?
Thank you, Julia. Okay, judges.
First of all, I just love how personal this show is. You are really making what has become, like you said, bloated, stale, unintimate, Simon Cowell, just so intimate while still being bloated.
But Simon Cowell isn't attached. It's his 6-year-old son, Eric.
It's his son, Eric. Who's six?
How did you meet Eric? How do you get involved?
Well, sometimes I go to dog parks. I don't have a dog. And dog parks are usually next to playgrounds.
And you don't have any kids?
Nor should I. I was in Los Angeles, which is City of Lights. And I noticed a 6-year-old in a suit. He and I started talking, networking. Next thing I know, I have a business card made out of fruit roll-up. And 20 minutes later, we had a deal.
This was a strictly professional relationship.
With Eric, Simon Cowell's son? Yes, absolutely.
And I guess the elephant in the room, Jared, who you mentioned.
Yeah, my that's ex, Jared.
Yeah, so that's Jared.
The pedophile.
What?
The subway pedophile.
I don't like to say last names. You know, I don't want to embarrass these people. I think I've kept them anonymous enough where you don't, you know, we don't know who they are.
But what was his band called?
Could you
fit? His band is called 30 Seconds to Mars, and he's an aspiring actor as well. again, we are not together. I broke up with him.
So not the pedophile.
Again, I can't identify who these people are.
All right, I think we're good.
Okay, so that's it for round one. Judges, not everyone can move on to round two, so who is going to get promoted this time?
So after thinking about it, we've decided that we are going to have to eliminate slash promote Matt.
Oh. Oh.
But listen. It's not because we didn't love your pitch. It's simply because we just really want to do another Pawn Stars, and we think Brett Michaels would be the perfect host. So we're going to steal him and make that show instead. But you gave us the idea. In a lot of ways, it's almost like you're an EP of this show, except that we're not going to make you one.
All right, Matt, congratulations on your promotion. All right, now it's time for round two. We're going to play a game we like to call Jukebox My Musical. For a long time, our execs have been jealous of the success Broadway and movies have enjoyed on the backs of back catalogs. So, contestants, we're going to give you a famous pop star or band, and you need to pitch us the Prestige Limited series, we're going by Golden Globes rules, that will be made based on the career or even just the songs of that artist. And you'll get bonus points if you can work their hits into the plot as clumsily and shoehorned as possible. All right, Pega, you're going to go first. Tell us how you're going to jukebox my musical, Madonna.
Okay, so this musical is based on the best, most popular, most famous Madonna song, Die Another Day. And it is about a young lady, beautiful, blonde, gap-toothed. It's basically the plot of Happy Death Day. Have you seen that movie?
I saw a trailer.
She just wakes up every single day and she dies. Another day. Do you understand what I mean? It takes place on La Isla Bonita, another very, very popular Madonna song. And every day she's just trying to celebrate her birthday. Every day. Every episode is another day. And she dies on it. Die Another Day. A musical.
Thank you, Pega.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to hop in.
Yeah, sure. Not yet.
I can't emphasize yet again how young I am. I shouldn't have this job. I'm so young. I don't know who Madonna is. Could you please explain?
Aren't you gay?
How dare you?
Wow. You can't just ask someone that.
This is a workplace.
I can.
While Matt's Googling it, let me ask you some questions. Is she playing herself in this Die Another Day, or is she a character who dies
every day? Well, I mentioned that
the
character was young, so she's not playing her.
Okay.
Self.
So who do you see playing young Madonna?
She might cameo as a grandma of herself.
A grandma of herself?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She's famous for like aging gracefully, so like I feel like she would love that.
Okay.
So I quickly Googled Madonna, and from what I can gather, she's a British woman. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Who she's British. Is an actress who occasionally
first and foremost
who occasionally sings.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So correct. I think that's great.
First of all, I love this idea.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering about, you know, just spitballing here about the casting of young Madonna. Mm-hmm. So the way it seems to me, you know, you need a few qualities. Obviously, somebody with the singing chops Madonna, long, beautiful blonde hair, music legend, somebody with credibility with the audience. Mm. Brett Michaels is available.
Is he,
I heard
though?
He's actually not available because he's hosting the new Pawn Stars.
I mean, the new Pawn Stars will shoot over a weekend and we'll have enough episodes to run
so
for the next 10 years.
That's crazy.
So we'll just do them back-to-back weekends. We got to move fast because he's falling apart.
Madonna is famous, in addition to all the other things I mentioned she's famous for. She's famous for keeping it toy. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like Brett Michaels.
I don't know about you, Kayla, but I'm really excited about using our talent twice over.
Mm. I love recycling.
I think that's great.
Are you talking about Brett Michaels?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I think we've heard enough. I feel like we have a lot to work with here.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Thank
Pega.
You, Pega.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Okay, moving right along for round two. Rod, tell us how you're going to jukebox my musical, the work of Radiohead.
So, obviously, Radiohead, one of the most important formative artists of our time. And so, if we're going to be telling their music, we should be telling their story. It's fascinating enough, it's dense enough, and it's important enough. So, I'm thinking, obviously, first scene, the Radiohead movie starts with uno, dos, tres, catorce. Hello, hello. Oh, yeah. in the head of radio. We opened in Seoul, South Korea, and we watched the individual stories of all five of the members of Radiohead, and what it was that brought them together to create this iconic, iconic boy band that the world all over adores. I mean, we want to see the journey of what gave us their absolute classics, Wake Up, Youth, Face Yourself, Dark and Wild, and obviously segueing into the classic they just released, Map of the Soul 7. I think if we're going to be talking about Radiohead, we need to be telling their story. And that's everything I have to say about Radiohead.
Okay, judges.
Can I just say you sound like the ultimate Radiohead fan? So this is like a passion project for you.
In every sense of the word.
Great, yeah.
Radiohead, I wasn't aware they were from South Korea.
Yeah.
How did you find mm-hmm. that out?
You know, just like message board. It's just like all the facts I've absorbed are about Radiohead.
And yeah. I didn't know that they were classified as a boy band.
Yeah.
Are they a band?
Well, yes.
Yes.
But I wasn't sure.
Are they boys?
Are technically, yes, they're male.
They're men.
Okay.
We're just, you know, we're skeptical. We're skeptical. Yeah. We're not sure that you, I don't know how to say this.
Can I say it?
Yeah. Matt, go ahead. Yeah, please.
You're a judge.
I am a judge and also a genuine enormous Radiohead fan. I am outraged, but I'll buy it.
Thank you, Rod. Okay, now to close out round two, Julia, I need you to jukebox my musical, The Spice Girls.
Thank you for this opportunity. What's bigger than the Spice Girls? I would argue one thing, the cultural phenomenon known as Cats. Now, Cats, famously or infamously, not sure which the difference is, earned $75 million on a $100 million budget. That's cold results. How many Cats were there? About five. How many Spice Girls members are there? About five. What we're doing is we're taking the music of Cats, we're taking the women of Spice Girls, and we are meshing them together in a musical called Catnip. Wait, one more time. Cat Girls. In this musical, each of the five members of the Spice Girls introduce themselves for an hour and a half, just like in the movie Cats. They each get their own song that's a mashup of a cat song and also a Spice Girl song. So, for example, Spice Up Your Life would meld with the song Memory, and it would be called Memory Up Your Life, Cats. And it is a raucous, exciting, girl power, cat power. Cat power. Cat Power is involved. She is absolutely involved. The show's called Cat Power. Thank you, judges.
Cool. If we could have a project that only loses $25 million.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That would be...
Dream world.
Yeah, we're hoping to lose at least 25. Yeah,
I would love that. Now, will there be a Jellicle Ball in this?
There will be a Jellicle Ball. But with a little bit of spice in it. A little spicy Jellicle Ball.
A spice ball.
Nope. Spicy Jellicle Ball. And that's when one of them goes into the heavy side layer. I saw Cats and my wallet was stolen at the screening. So that's my journey.
Is that how they made the money they did make at the box office?
Yeah, it's untraditional, but it works.
Matt, any questions?
Famously, the Cats movie was adjusted about a week into release mm-hmm. to fix some technical issues with the yeah. CGI. If we're hoping to lose at least as much money,
yeah.
could we possibly release the movie with no CGI?
Oh, so it's going to be a show.
Oh, yeah,
this
okay.
is a limited series.
Limited series, and every episode...
I think of everything as filmic as a movie.
No, but to answer your question, it's a great question because we will release an episode, and after it airs on, hopefully, FX, I don't know, mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be on Twitter saying... what we fucked up. So we will release it the week after, re-release it with all of the CGI hands in.
Question from the host.
I'm sorry, who are you?
The host. So the Spice Girls famously are reuniting for a tour, but they're not able to get Victoria to stop being a fashion designer mm-hmm. and married to David Beckham. Mm-hmm. and to come out and be on tour with them. Mm-hmm. So will she be involved in this show,
though? No, but Simon Cowell's son, Eric, has agreed to take her place.
Okay.
And he's going to go by Bosch Spice because he loves the show Bosch. Even though he's six.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, judges. One more of our contestants is getting promoted to the executive level. Who is it going to be?
So we did a lot of thinking, and, you know, just to take extra precaution, we did get our research intern to look some things up about one of the pitches, and...
It turns out. Oh, boy, this is tough to say.
I know, but we're going to have to eliminate slash promote Rod, because the band you were talking about wasn't actually Radiohead.
Hmm. It's actually a boy band called BTS.
Right. From South Korea.
Welcome.
Wow. Well,
congratulations,
thank you.
Rod.
Thank you for this.
And sorry for eliminating you, but
it's okay.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for playing, Rod. Okay. Before we get on to round three, it's time for a word from our sponsors.
Hi there. Do you depend on your morning coffee to get your business going? You know, your morning monsoon, your toilet tsunami, but just hate the anxiety that comes with all that caffeine? Well, now Folgers has the morning cup of joe that gets your bowels to blow without all the jittery side effects. It's called freeze-dried shit crystals. Just pour hot water into a cup of Folgers freeze-dried shit crystals, and you got a steaming cup of feces. Take a sip, wait for the virus to settle in, and your rear end will be kicking in such a high gear you won't be able to see straight. Because of the dehydration. Folgers freeze-dried shit crystals. It's poop.
And we're back. I hope you're ready, because now it's time for our music-themed lightning round. Here's how this works. I have a list of show titles that the execs have greenlit sight unseen with no idea what the shows are about. So pitchers, you're going to tell them. You'll each get five shows to explain, and then our judges, all four of them, will determine the big winner for the episode who gets the CD copy of the La La Land soundtrack. All right, Pega, you're up first. Tell us about the show, The Masked Oboist.
This is just, this is about the man in the iron mask, Leonardo DiCaprio, learning to play oboe and also learning to date women above 25.
All right, thank you. Okay, Julia, your first show is... No Hit Wonders.
Thank you. No Hit Wonders is a really interesting reality show where we bring on some of the most famous Gregorian chanters the world has never heard. So, No Hit Wonders, we bring on these monks, they chant, the crowd absolutely leaves, and the prize? Salvation.
Pega, your next show is Pitch Benders.
Okay, so Pitch Benders is actually a crazy sci-fi show on the Sci-Fi Channel. And it's about people who have the power to bend pitch. And they travel through space and time this way. And the science is very, very, very shaky. And actually, it's going to be like the only reason people watch the show is because they want to like use their elementary understanding of science to like bring the show down a notch.
Okay, Julia, your next show is Name That Sample.
Name That Sample actually has nothing to do with music, but it takes place in a doctor's office, and there are different urine, fecal, semen samples, and the contestants, who all used to be musicians, have to guess what the sample is. So we have Joey McIntyre, we have Kim Petras, who used to be a musician, we have Jeff from 98 Degrees, and they all have to guess what the sample is. And the winner, you guessed it, gets to drink it.
All right. Peggett, your next show is Glee for Straights.
Ah, yes. This show is hosted by Reba McEntire. And it is a country music version of Glee. And it's you know, there's country music songs like My Truck is in the Shop, and lots of others like that straight people love, I think.
Julia, tell us about the show This Old Opera House.
This Old Opera House mixes two of America's favorite genres, HGTV, with music. So the Property Brothers, I don't know if you guys know this, are getting into music. When they come across a haunted opera house, they decide, should we fix it up or should we jazz it up? They do both. They get the ghost out of there, turn it into kind of an open concept kitchen. And bonus, Jonathan Scott's girlfriend, Zoe Deschanel from the Cotton Song, comes in for a guest star appearance.
Peggot, tell us about the show Everybody Loves Reggae.
Oh, okay. This show is takes place at UC Santa Cruz. And it's all about the white people who love to have like dreads in their hair, and they like listen to Bob Marley really loudly, and like it's just really offensive, and it's about me confronting them finally at long last and carrying this trauma with me since college.
Julia, your second to last show is Guitar Shiro.
Thank you. Guitar Shiro takes the idea that the laughable idea that women can play guitar and turns it on their heads. It's a Black Mirror style kind of sci-fi, not reality because that's insane, but like, oh, near future, but far future, a world in which women can play guitars. And so it follows these aspiring women, Josie and the Pussycats, as they attempt to learn with their tiny hands and tiny fingers. They learn what a fret is. They learn what rhythm is. They learn, you know, how to get out of the kitchen and into the, I want to say sound booth. I don't know my terminology. So Guitar Shiro is really, you know, elevates women in this highly fictional show.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, you each have one show left. Pega, tell us about the new television show Fred Durst Presents.
Okay, so this is a show. It's actually a really, really dark multi-season documentary following Fred Durst and how people keep getting him confused with the other Durst, Robert Durst. And they keep tweeting at him and saying, you piece of shit, like, you are a murderer. And he's like, no, I'm a piece of shit because I was in Limp Bizkit, not because I'm a murderer. And so it's just really about his journey and, like, coming to terms with, like, being Fred Durst.
Okay. Okay, Julia, take us home with the last show of the lightning round. Tell us about the new TV show, Smash.
Smash is a show in which we're going to introduce a woman named Catherine McPhee Foster. You thought she was Catherine McPhee. No, she married David Foster, a man who is famously 200 years older than her. The show is about her new life as a trophy wife to a famous music producer and her quest to win a Grammy, her quest to win a Tony, her quest to win an Oscar, and you guessed it, a Daytime Choice Award. Doesn't exist. Now, she's smashing the patriarchy by means of her husband, using his money and his success. And she eventually gets in a fistfight with Megan Hilty, who's the blonde lady from a previous show called Smash. Deborah Messing kicks open the door, fistfights, you know, Susan Sarandon. It's political, it's drama, it's a smash success, it's Smash. Introducing Catherine McPhee Foster.
All right. Thank you very much. That was the lightning round. Judges, what did you think?
Okay, first, so I have two questions for Julia, two for Pega. First, Julia,
yeah.
In Name That Sample, you mentioned that Jeff from 98 Degrees was going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been trying to get him on something for years. Mm-hmm. How did you possibly track that guy down?
Turns out all you need is a Craigslist account and $350 of money. He's in.
Amazing. We didn't think of that. And then finally, for this old opera house, right? This old opera house?
This old opera
Sorry.
House.
For this old opera house, you mentioned that the property brothers were going to have to, quote, get the ghosts out.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about that. What's the ghost angle? It's a haunted opera house?
As most opera houses tend to be, this one is haunted. And so what they have to do is get it out. Because ghosts don't like construction. They don't like contractors, things, etc. So just the act of them renovating removes the ghost, you know, from the premises.
Right. And I heard that they hate open plan kitchens.
Ghosts do, because there's no place to hide, you know, but it is nice for entertaining.
And then Pega, for Glee for Straits, you mentioned that Reba would be involved. Tell us about, who do you see as some of the kids, playing some of the kids of the show, if it's going to be like Glee?
Oh, yeah, kids, for sure. Any child star who is now grown up can be cloned if we're willing to wait 5 to 6 years. So just that's just a whole slew. The Olsen twins can be cute again. Think about that.
Interesting.
You know? Lilo could be cute again. Let's make child stars cute again by cloning them.
And then finally, Fred Durst Presents, you know, gave me sort of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if we got Fred and Robert together?
Mm-hmm.
Just put them on a show together. No more questions asked.
Oh, my God. Durst versus Durst?
Durst on Durst.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea. I love that.
Cool. Matt or Rod?
I have a question about the masked oboist. I understand that this had something to do with some sort of actor, but my question relates specifically to the oboe component, speaking as a fellow double reed player, first chair bassoon in the North Jersey
the bassoon,
region
which
band.
Is famously closely related to the oboe.
Very much so. Double reed, yes. 2001 to 2003, first chair, as
very,
I mentioned.
Very wow. difficult.
You must have been really good.
Master.
First chair.
Yes, wow. Absolutely. Extremely good.
What was that like?
Very talented.
Was it very competitive?
It was, I mean, it's not as competitive as the oboe. It's a large, expensive instrument, but it's certainly competitive.
Were you just like always like a
I'm
just
asking
a ball
the questions here. My question is, does the mask interfere with their embouchure? Because the oboe is very famously very difficult to maintain.
No. She's not wearing a mask. There's no actual mask in the show. It's kind of a thinker. It's a bit
if
of a thinker.
If this show doesn't have any oboes in it, not only am I going to vote against you, I'm going to lose my fucking
oboes.
Mind.
That has plenty of oboes, sir.
All right. I also have a question about Fred Durst Presents, but before I ask it, I'd like to go to the bathroom without removing my microphone.
Go right ahead.
Be my guest.
Zip. Oh, God, you gotcha. Oh, I didn't know you didn't ever play the bassoon. Oh, God, I'm peeing so hard. It sounds like people making a noise. All right, no further questions.
It was not like a major confession. It was just mostly you groaning.
Also, your pee sounds like wind.
Anyone else have any questions?
Rod?
If I was to pull one question out of the air that I do think is the elephant in the room, I'm just curious about if any of your guys' pitches are thinking about the South Korean demo by incorporating some music by famous prog rock boy band from South Korea, Radiohead, and if there is any space for that.
Well, actually, the Radioheads are... that's what Radiohead fans are called. Mm-hmm. The Radioheads are really also coincidentally really into Limp Bizkit. So
are they?
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just go on like literally the internet. Like everyone knows that.
Well, I feel like we have a lot to think about.
You do. Yes. And I hope you've done that thinking, because now there's only one thing left to do, and that's crown this episode's winner.
To quote Robert Durst, two roads diverge in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both. This is the toughest choice I've faced in a long time. I studied Robert Durst in college, so I'm really familiar with his work.
You have the thirst for Durst, you would say?
Thirst for Durst.
Well, this was really hard, but, you know, it really came down to two things. One, we're really excited about cloning former child stars to be young again. I mean, if we could do that, the reboots are endless. The other thing is that we really just can't afford the Property Brothers for another terrible show. So we are going to crown Pega the winner of this episode.
Oh my God, thank you. Me and Jessica Chastain's team, thank you so much.
All right, congratulations, Pega. You win the CD copy of the La La Land soundtrack.
Oh, good.
All right, thanks again for tuning in to Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out new episodes every other Monday on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends, sing it from the rooftops. We're really into the whole positive reinforcement thing. It's weird, I know. We've got a mailing list, too, that you can sign up for to keep up to date on live shows, podcast news, and unhinged rants. Just go to badpitchestv.com and sign up.
And if you have an idea for a bad product we could advertise on our commercial breaks, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we just might pick yours. For everyone here at Bad Pitches, I'm Ned Erbar saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.